بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. We continue in the zakat, باب إخراج الزكاة. How to pay zakat. قال رحمه الله: فإن عجلها إلى غير مستحقها لم يجزئه وإن صار عند الوجوب من أهلها. If one pays it earlier than the due date to someone who does not deserve it, it will not count, even if that person becomes a worthy recipient of zakat on the due date. So what he said here, rahmatullah alayh, he said, meaning if you pay the zakat, he's giving you a what if somebody pays the zakat before, you need to pay the zakat. Yani, for example, today your zakat paid in Ramadan or in Sha'ban. You paid it today, which is another 6 months for Ramadan or Sha'ban. You gave it to a person who does not deserve zakat. But you are anticipating that that person, by the time Ramadan comes, is going to be back. Let's just say he's going to court cases and he's got money now, he's spending, but now he doesn't need zakat. But once it comes the time, he's going to be flat. Then here he said, it is not, would not suffice, yani, it will not count. So it is not going to count. Type, what about when you, if you paid it today and Ramadan comes the time of zakat and he deserved the zakat, then we say to you, it will not count, you have to take the zakat. Because you gave it to the wrong person to begin with. You see? You gave it to the wrong person to begin with and it would not count. So here you have to take it out again. If you give the zakat, yani, if you give to the zakat after the obligation, meaning Ramadan comes and this is now you need to give the zakat, and you gave the zakat then to someone that you assumed he deserved the zakat. And then it was apparent to you that he doesn't deserve the zakat, then you have to take it out again. Here, exception, if you give it to someone you assume poor, then you find out that he is rich. Sah? Because wealth sometimes is hidden, you don't know. What does it all this mean? There's a difference between this al-mustahab and the ghani. Al-mustahab could be sometimes a wayfarer. Somebody wayfarer. What is the wayfarer? The person who is, for example, come to a country and he does not have a ticket to go back home. Then you pay him to go back home. He is deserving of your zakat. But you discovered he's a resident. Then the zakat is not. Yes, you have to pay it. But what about if he is, you assume that he is poor? And then, he after that, he showed that he's rich. Then it's a pass, because the money, person to be rich or poor, sometimes it can be hidden and not known. This is something he mentioned here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ. That he said that the ignorant would think they are rich while they are poor, because they don't ask anyone anything. Allah praise the group of people who are poor and living poor, but you would think they are rich because they don't ask anyone and they don't show need to anyone. But sometimes, rich you can hide, but poor, yani, if you're really poor, then you cannot hide it. It shows. You see? Here he said, وَإِنْ دَفَعَهَا إِلَى مُسْتَحِقِّهَا فَمَاتَ أَوْ اسْتَغْنَى أَوْ ارْتَدْ أَجْزَأَتْ. Listen, he said, if one pays it early to someone who deserves it, and then that person dies or no longer needs it or becomes an apostate, it will count for him. So here he said, if you give it to one who deserves it, then he died, or he does not need, or he died, he does not, he became later rich, or he become murtad, then it what? It suffices and it counts. So I read it again. or no longer need. يعني does no longer need the money, then it becomes what? It suffices you. Why? Because you gave it at that time to a person who deserves it. So it drops. So what he's telling you here, you need to know who you're giving the zakat to. Are you really at least coming out to one who deserves it or not? You need to do your homework if he deserves it or not. If you give it to Amir al-Mu'mineen, if there is Imara, and then khalas drops, it's his responsibility. But if you give it yourself to the people, you have to make sure they need it or not. Otherwise, it would not suffice. He said, وَإِنْ تَلَفَ الْمَالِ لَمْ يَرْجِعْ عَلَى الْآخِرِ. He said, however, if his property is ruined after he paid the zakat, he cannot ask for it back from the person who received it. يعني, let's just say, you had some money. يعني, you took it out of an amount of money with a threshold, with a certain threshold. So, now, and you gave the zakat. After you gave the zakat, the money got stolen. Can you say, brother, I gave you the zakat, but the money is stolen now, so I don't have to pay zakat, khalas, it's too late. He takes it. What about if you pay it, if you, yani, what about if you paid it before the time is due? Yeah, the zakat to be paid in Ramadan, but you paid it now to people who deserve it. But from here to Ramadan, the money was destroyed or stolen of you. So if you have waited to Ramadan, you would not have to pay zakat. So can you ask him back? No, you cannot ask him back because you gave it away. He said, وَلَا تَنْتَقِدُ الصَّدَقَةِ إِلَىٰ بَلَدٍ تُقْصَرُ إِلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةِ إِلَّا أَنْ لَا يَجِدَ مَنْ يَأْخُذَهَا إِلَىٰ فِي بَلَدِهَا. He said, it is not allowed to transport charity, zakat, in this context to a faraway place where it becomes permissible to shorten the prayer unless one does not find anyone who deserves it in his own area to take it. Because he said to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu when he sent him to Yemen, اَعْلِمْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ افْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. He said, inform them that Allah has enjoined upon them zakat of their wealth to be taken from their rich and given to them. Here he said to Mu'adh when he sent him to Yemen, he said, it is taken from their rich and given to their poor. That means taken from the rich of that city and given to the poor of that city. And the ulama gathered, you're not allowed to transport the zakat. It is to be spent in the city that you are in. If there is people who need it in the city that you are living in, then you need to give them your zakat there. Why? Because this is the sunnah of the Prophet and the order of the Prophet. Now we know we live in Australia, or some people live in the UK, or in the countries where people are better off. Now collectively, the need for money in Pakistan or in India or in Lebanon is far more than Australia. Somebody will tell you here, is the person is poor relatively to the people in Australia. Meaning, someone who's on the door with the housing commission and his baby's barely making ends meet, barely paying his bills and keeping his head above water, this in the Sharia considered miskin. And he's deserving of the zakat. Sah? Deserve the zakat. Now, someone in Lebanon or in Pakistan, they can't even find the bread to eat. So do we give the zakat to the person here or overseas? You see? But the sunnah is to give it here. And that's why we say, then it is more deserved to be sent overseas because generally the people are poorer there than here. But if it is found someone here, take an example, a refugee who doesn't get any social support from the government and he doesn't get health cover from the government or nothing, and the person could starve anytime, If we pull together money to the zakat and give him, then it's a right. And he'll be, and he is to be given priority. Sahih. And this is what we need to understand. So, but this priority change. Take for example now in Syria. People are flooding with nothing to eat. Babies are dying because there is no dawa, no cure, no medicine. Now who deserves the zakat more? Maybe if you were to ask before the revolution, I'd say, for example, other places. But the priority moves and shifts according to the most need. And this is where you need to be vigilant and know where your money is going. Is it? This is what you need to do. You need to know that your money is giving maximum benefit. Your money is giving maximum benefit. If it's not giving maximum benefit, then you move to somewhere where it can maximize the benefit. This is something to put in your mind. Some ulama also said, what about if the Muslim gave the zakat and he sent it overseas? But it got stolen. Sah? A government seized it. Bandits stole it. Now, if you know that this is what happened to your money, you have to send it again. You have to send it again. You have to send it again. Because your dhimmah la tabra illa idha wasalat al-zakatu li mustahiqtiha. What does it mean? This is a principle in zakat. That you are not free from the burden of the zakat unless the money reaches the people who deserve it. We spoke about this last week. So we'll repeat it again. So the zakat, it has to be paid, no matter what, until it reaches al-mustahiq. When it reaches the mustahiq, then khalas, it drops from you the zakat. Babu man yajuzu daf'u zakati ilayh. We move to the next chapter. He said, chapter, who may receive zakat? Of course, the principle is in Surah Tawbah. Surah Tawbah verse 60. When he said, innama sadaqah. Innama in Arabic, indeed, the zakat is only for. Here, ulama, al-fiqh, al-Arabic language, and usul al-fiqh, they say, innama lil-hasli wal-qasri. What does it mean? Innama, when it comes to restrict to gather and restrict, meaning the zakat cannot be given except to those that are mentioned in the following ayah. You cannot add and you cannot extract. And that's why innama comes. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the ayah with innama sadaqat. The sadaqat. Lil-fuqara, to the poor. Wal-masakin, and the needy. Wal-amilina alayha, and those employed to collect the funds. Wa-fir-riqab. وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ, and to attract the hearts of those who have inclined towards Islam. We'll talk about that. وَفِي الرِّقَابِ, and to free a captive. وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and in the cause of Allah. وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ, and for the wayfarer. فَرِيضَةً مِّنَ اللَّهِ, a duty imposed by Allah. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ, and Allah is all-knower, all-wise. Let's define it. He said, وَهُمْ ثَمَانِيَةً, they are eight, يعني eight categories of people as we mentioned. الأول الفقراء وهم الذين لا يجدون ما يقع موقعا من كفايتهم بكسب ولا غيره. He said, the first time is the poor people. They are those who cannot afford what they need, whether through earning or otherwise. So what is the faqir? Al-faqir here, he does not have money, little or much. Right? Or they have money, but it does not reach half of what they need. يعني what? يعني he has money. He has money, let's just say today. He's a person normally like him spends $800 a week. صح? But he's earning $400 a week, $390 a week. He is not needy, he is poor. So he is deserving of what? Zakat. He's not needy, he's poor. It is not half of what they need. He earns not even half of what he needs. The second is al-miskin, the needy. وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ يَجِدُونَ ذَلِكَ Meaning, here he said, وَلَا يَجِدُونَ تَمَامَ الْكِفَايَةِ The second type is the needy. They are those who can afford some of their needs, but not all. طيب. Here he said that they find money, but it does not suffice. Maybe more than half. يعني he earns $800, but really if he was to spend, not lavishly, to spend يعني borrow spending, he earns, let's just say he earns 650 and he needs 800 a week. His rent is about 500 and he needs other things. يعني he's not barely, يعني he hasn't, يعني he is always broke 100 or 150 every week. طيب. And here, it does not mean that I work. He could be working. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 79, about the masakeen. أَمَّا السَّفِينَةُ فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ As for the ship, that Al-Khadr broke part of him, it used to be for whom? Masakeen. So they had a job. They had owned actually a ship. صح? But it was not bringing them enough money to survive. You see, and this from the ulama, they said, the miskin, he earns more than the poor, but still not enough. He said, وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا The third one, الْعَامِلُونَ عَلَيْهَا He said, وَهُمُ السُّعَاتِ عَلَيْهَا الَّذِينَ يَجْمَعُونَهَا وَمَنْ يُحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ فِيهَا He said, the third type is the zakat collected. They are the people who collect it and those who are needed for it. In other words, he said here, all workers hired by the Zakat administration. Here, they mean the people who go out and collect the Zakat. People go out and collect the Zakat and go around looking for the zakat and collecting it from people. Usually they are hired. They are what? Hired by Amir al-Mu'mineen or hired by administrative body. Those people deserve from the zakat, but they don't take it themselves, they take it from the administration. And the worst thing to be, the collector and the giver. There's a conflict of interest. I can't go collect and give. I collect and then I get paid from a different person. So, the ulama estimated if there are eight equal to 100%. So how divide 100 on 8? 12.5%. So the ulama said, in this regard, the expenditure of al-amiluna alayha in nowadays in a charitable organization has to not exceed 12.5%. So if a charity organization collecting from zakat, we haven't spoken about sadaqah, zakat, $100,000, $1 million, they can only spend on workers and employees $125,000. Everything, the rest has to go. So if the company that is, that charitable organization, runs and costs it to run $300,000 a year and it's collecting $500,000 or $600,000, that is a failing organization. It must be liquidated because it's eating the zakat of the people with no right. So he must not exceed 12.5%. Al-mu'allafati qulubuhum. He said, Al-mu'allafati qulubuhum. وَهُمُ السَّادَةُ الْمُطَاعُونَ فِي عَشَائِرِهِمْ الَّذِينَ يُرْجَى بِعَطِيَّتِهِمْ دَفْعُ شَرِّهِمْ أَوْ زِيَادَةُ قُوَّةُ إِيمَانِهِمْ أو دفعهم عن المسلمين أو إعانتهم على أخذ الزكاة ممن يمتنع من دفعها. He said the fourth type consists of those whose hearts may be reconciled. They are the authorities within their tribes, whose evil may be evaded or whose faith may be strengthened by giving them zakat. Or it is hoped to prevent them from harming Muslims. Or who may help them Muslims, يعني who may help them, يعني help the Muslims collect zakat from those who are withholding. Of course, المؤلفة قلوبهم بعلماء الله علماء even Umar رضي الله عنه even Umar رضي الله عنه he at times he stopped that. He said that category we don't need it today. Islam is powerful. So the Prophet ﷺ, as in the battle of Hunayn, he took the ghanamin and he gave Safwan ibn Umayyah. And Safwan ibn Umayyah was a kafir. He gave him the Prophet ﷺ from ghanamin and he was a kafir. And this is in Sahih Muslim. Why? Because he was leader of the leaders of the kuffar and he needed to give him, so he came. And he prevent the problems coming towards Muslims. So here, for example, Amir al-Mu'mineen, there is a tribe that is causing a problem. If we give you some money, would you sign on a treaty to leave us alive for a year or two? He says, yes, sir, can take some money and you can give it for him. Keep his evil. Sah? Or someone, a great leader, if you believe if you give him some money, he could start leaning towards the Muslims and persuade to accept Islam. Also, it can be for someone who is يعني, on the verge of accepting Islam. You give him some of that, تأليف القلب. Or he accepted Islam but not yet fully a Muslim, to give him some money from the zakat to aid him a little bit so he can love Islam, then he is no issue. Araf? All of this from ta'lif al-qulub. Ta'lif al-qulub means literally is to bring the heart closer to you. You see? And all of this Umar saw no need. He said, Tayyib, it can be applicable when we are poor or when we are weak, but now we're powerful. You see, and if you're going to threaten us, we know how to deal with it. So Umar, at that time, he's seen it, but it is a category, ya ikhwa, that it is part of the zakat and can be used at any time when we need to use it. Also, it can be given to protect the Muslims. Like if there is a tribe or a country that is on the borders of the Muslims. They go far. You say, okay, we give you some money. Any enemy coming to us towards you, you fight them. You protect. So you protected that piece of the land with the kuffar. You gave them money, say, okay, you are to yani, repel any harm coming our way, and you sign a treaty on that, and you pay him. I love some of the money. Sah? This is all under ta'lif al-qulub. So ta'lif al-qulub is to bring people closer to Islam. Ta'lif al-qulub is to repel harm from coming to Muslims. Ta'lif al-qulub to increase the iman of people. For example, they're new to Islam and you want to increase their iman by giving them some money and they feel they are supported by the Muslims. Or to give them some money to protect the Muslims, you see? He said, and also إعانتهم أو إعانتهم على أخذ الزكاة ممن يمتنع عن دفعها. So also he said to support the Muslims in the sense that they will يعني for example you give a group of Muslims money to help you if you are Amir al-Mu'mineen and there is a group of Muslims next to a tribe that is not paying the zakat. You say, okay, we want to fight those peoples until they pay the zakat. Would you support us? We'll give you some money. He says, yes, then it can work like this. He says, وَالْخَامِسْ الرِّقَابْ وَهُمُ الْمُكَاتَبُونَ which is وَاِعْتَاقُ الرَّقِيبُ. Listen to this, because this is important. The fifth type consists of slaves and captives who are endured servants and for free slaves. So here, وَفِ الرِّقَابْ الرقاب is slaves, to free Muslim slaves. صح. You know a Muslim, he slaves, you give him money, so you buy him off and you free him from his boss, through the zakat, from his owner, from his master. Now, today there is, now first and al-mukatabun. What is the mukatabun? Al-mukatab is a system that was introduced, Islamic system was introduced by Islam, by Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Al-mukatab is a slave owned by a master. Now, the master, he says, I can't free you. You're worth a lot of money. I paid a lot of money for you, but I'd like to free you. Yani, you go and live your life. So I can get the reward of you in his life, but I can't afford it. I really need the money. He says, how? And then gave him the option, Islam gave him the option, that the slaves goes out and work. And all the money he earns, he buys his freedom with it. It's called what? Mukatab. He buys his freedom with it. And this is one of the ways Islam freed slaves. صح? Because the American system, when they freed the slaves, left a lot of grudges within the white against the blacks. Why? Because when they freed all the slaves, one day you're a millionaire, next morning you're bankrupt. Remember, slaves are worth money. It's a big market. Yani imagine today that you wake up and the government might issue a law that anyone who owns a house, it's now owned by the government. You don't own it anymore. Now one day you have 50 properties, you're a millionaire, you wake up in the morning, you have nothing. Of course this is silly. But Islam the way freed slave, it made it a ibadah and a rewardful act, when slowly, slowly, Muslims were competing in the number of the slaves they freed. So when you free your own slave, you're doing it out of what? Out of love. You're happy. Not you feel forced by the government. And also for the one who doesn't want to, who wants his money, his right, he paid for it, says, okay, he can do a mukataba and he can buy his own freedom. And then come a time that slavery was abolished, and hardly there is any slavery which is, doesn't exist anymore. But today, we don't have. How do we use this? Of course, here, al-riqab, also the captives. Meaning, if an army took Muslims as captives, prisoners of war, we can ransom them with the money of zakat. Sah? And today it is applicable for our brothers and sisters who are locked up in jails. These people, they need lawyers, they need money to buy, because none of these prisoners, our brothers, actually, it costs them a lot of money to get halal meat in jail. To cost, to get food, to get many things. So they require what? Some money. And your zakat can be given to them. And also to be spent for court cases to take it out. صح? That is, you can use the zakat in that. Because why? Because there are captives. And any money spent to free captives, you can use your zakat. Now, والغانمون listen وهم المدينون لإصلاح أنفسهم في مباح أو لإصلاح بين طائفتين من المسلمين listen الغانمون the sixth type includes those in debt. They are the debtors who borrowed money for themselves to pay for permissible things or to reconcile to Muslim parties. طيب. Of course, back, it doesn't happen anymore, or if it happens today, two Muslim parties fight for whatever reason. One party, or one even person, comes and says, if we give you this money, would you stop fighting? Would you stop fighting the other party? He says, yes. How much? 500,000. You gave him the 500,000. Or the other party gave 500,000. Or a person gave 500,000. Not that person, now he's in debt. He deserves the zakat because he's a ghalib. Also, someone borrowed money to look after his family. Not borrowed money to buy a Ferrari. Not took a credit card and went exploding money in David Jones and spent 20,000. Please, we need money. I need to buy the credit card.
Is it a haram the riba chef?
Yeah, what would you didn't think about it when you were buying nice pants and shoes and you're showing off. Did you think of that when you went on a holiday to Honolulu and you paid $20,000 in Honolulu and you gambled in casinos and you got on your credit card $20,000 and now they're asking you for money and you're not earning to pay it and say, give me zakat? It's not a problem. But someone who borrowed money because of his family, his son requires an operation, and he borrowed from his brother $10,000, or brother from some of the brothers $10,000. Now the man also lost his job, and he can't pay it back. And now the people who lent him the money said, we want our money back. Now this person, is he deserving of the zakat? If we took $10,000 from the zakat and gave him to pay his debt, that's salah. You see? And that's why here he said, لِإِصْلَاحِ نُفُوسِهِمْ فِي مُبَاحِ, to fix themselves and their life in something that is allowed, not something that is not allowed. صح؟ He said, وَالسَّابِعُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَهُمُ الْغُزَاتُ الَّذِينَ لَا دِيوَانَ لَهُمْ. Pay attention, this is important. He said, وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَهُمُ الْغُزَاتُ الْمُجَاهِدُونَ طَوْعًا الَّذِينَ لَا دِيوَانَ لَهُمْ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ رَوَاتِبٌ مِنَ الدَّوْلَةِ. He said, the seventh tribe is in the cause of Allah, and they are the fighters who are unpaid, not being part of an organized army. Now, fi sabilillah is the mujahid fi sabilillah. That's agreement of ulama. And when the word fi sabilillah mentioned unrestricted, yani not coupled with anything, then that means jihad. When the word jihad in the Quran and Sunnah comes without a qareena, a clear wording, adjectives in the sentence, in the verse, to make it jihad of nafs or jihad of money, like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُجَاهِدُونَ بِأَمْوَالِهِ, that means jihad of what? Of wealth, to give away wealth fi sabilillah. But يُجَاهِدُونَ مَنْ جَاهَدَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, that means the one who actually fight. بس. So here when the ayah comes فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, it means for the fighters فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Now, some ulama modern are great ulama, they said da'wah is forcing فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, because they said jihad is what? Is proportion and fraction of da'wah. صح؟ يعني da'wah is a general term, includes jihad, includes teaching, includes tadhkirah wa maw'id, all of this part of da'wah, to remind the Muslims, or to speak to a kafir, to bring him to Islam, or to pull out a sword and fight fi sabilillah. All of this is da'wah, because all of it has the same aim, to propagate the deen of Allah. So they said da'wah is part of jihad. Of course, this is incorrect, because it came specifically fi sabilillah. Because ya akhi, every act that you do is fi sabilillah. What does it mean? Yani now you're coming to the masjid, is it fi sabil shaitan or fi sabilillah? It's fi sabilillah. Sah? When you feed your wife and your children with the intention to bring up good generation, it's fi sabilillah. So how do you draw the line? Yani when you give for poor, is it fi sabilillah or fi sabil shaitan? Fi sabilillah. When you give the miskeen, fi sabilillah. When you give al-amilin alayha, fi sabilillah. When you give al-mu'allafati qulubuhum, fi sabilillah. And so, صح? So it's all fi sabilillah. But fi sabilillah here, all the ulama will tell you specifically to the one who fight, and not everyone who fight, no. The one who does not get wages. Meaning if there is an Islamic government and have an army to fight, of course there's a mujahidun. But what do? They get paid. A wages and the family looked after. Their families is looked after and they get all the benefits. This don't take from the zakat. And you have the volunteers. The volunteers are the ones who deserve the zakat. You understand? Not the ones who are on the payroll from the Islamic government. or a group of people who are involved in a correct Islamic, authentic, under the banner of La ilaha illallah, declare the war on invaders, they are fi sabilillah, also deserving of the zakat. Now some ulama added building masjid from zakat, because that's fi sabilillah. That is not fi sabilillah in the specific meaning, which is al-mujahidun fi sabilillah. And that's why the masjid, you have to pay it from the sadaqah, not from the zakat. Also, fi sabilillah, whatever needed for the jihad, meaning to clothing, arms, weaponry, right? And so on. All of it fi sabilillah. Now, Imam Ahmad added one category. He said, if someone cannot afford Hajj, he'll be given from the money of zakat to do Hajj. Why? Because qiyasan, Hajj is like jihad, because the Prophet ﷺ said it is jihad for who? For women. So still there is part of jihad. The similarities between Hajj and jihad, traveling, both ibadat require traveling. Leaving your family behind, both ibadat requires you leave your family behind. Risking your life, which is both ibadat, is an element of risk. Even now it is less and less, but still element of risk. So, income. Your income will be stopped or reduced to a minimum once you are at Hajj, and same thing in jihad. And because that's why, and also, yani, astaghfirullah, so that's why they are similar, and Imam Ahmad said it is allowed to give from zakat a person to go to Hajj. Also, some spoke about students of knowledge. A student of knowledge. The student of knowledge who are studying, can they take from the zakat? Some ulama said yes. Yani, someone to travel overseas and learn, can he take from the zakat? Some ulama said yes. Why? Because it's also mutatawwi fi sabilillah, and it is seeking knowledge, is also a type of jihad fi sabilillah. You understand? And he said, وابن السبيل, which is the wayfarer, وهو المسافر المنقطع به وهو المسافر المنقطع به وإن كان ذا يسار في بلد. He said, the eighth is the wayfarer. He is the traveler who lacks the means to return home, even if he was well off in his homeland. The last one is Ibn Sabil. Ibn Sabil, normally someone traveling by ship, riding, reach the city, and he doesn't have money to go back. Even if he's rich, but he's rich in his home, we say yes, he's deserving of zakat enough to give him back home. And here you can also talk and use the refugee. Is a refugee, for example, he wants to go back home, he comes to Australia, and then he needs to go back home. Of course, if he's living and not earning money, that is needy and poor. But let's just say, he says, I want to go back home. Khalas, I don't want to stay here. And he doesn't have any money, then we pay him money to travel back home, and that is from Ahlul Zakat. He said here, فَهَٰؤُلَاءِ هُمْ أَهْلُ الزَّكَاةِ لَا يَجُوزُ دَفْعُهَا إِلَىٰ غَيْرِهِمْ. He said, such are those who deserve to receive zakat, and it's not permissible to give it to others. Why? Because there is no difference of opinion amongst the ulama with this, and we explain. وَيَجُوزُ دَفْعُهَا إِلَىٰ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. He said, لِأَنَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أمر بني زريق بدفع صدقتهم إلى سلم بن صخر وقال لقبيصة, أقم يا قبيصة حتى تأتينا الصدقة فلنأمر لك بها. He said, it is permissible to pay it to only one of them, since the Prophet ﷺ instructed Bani Zurayh to pay it to Salama ibn Sahr. And he said to Qabisa, stay here, Qabisa, until the charity, meaning zakat, comes to us, and then we will give it to you. What does it mean? Meaning, I have $8,000 to give it zakat. Now I go give each tar $1,000. He said, no, you can also pay it to one person. You see? Yani, any one of them. For example, a miskin, come and give him the $8,000. Or a faqir, you give him the $8,000. Or fi sabilillah, you give him $8,000. So this here, those categories, you can give to one. You don't need to give to the eight and distribute the money to the eight. You give him to one and to suffice him, as he said here, because Rasulullah said to Qabisa, hey, stay with us until the zakat comes. And he ordered Bani Zurayh to give their zakat to one person. And this is the dalil, you can give it to one person. He said, وَيَدْفَعُ إِلَى الْفَقِيرِ وَالْمِسْكِينِ مَا وَيُدْفَعُ إِلَى الْفَقِيرِ وَالْمِسْكِينِ مَا يَتُمُّ بِهِ كِفَايَتُهُ. He said, the poor and the needy are to be given what is sufficient for their needs. Right? So you give it to someone sufficient to his needs. Yani, for example, if a poor person come asking for money, here the ulama, how do they give it? For example, let's just say he needs $20,000 to live for the rest of the year. Then he'll be given enough for to suffice him for 1 year. He's poor and he needs 20,000, then you take out the 20,000 from the zakat and you give it to him for a year. Unless it's proven that he's a safir. What is a safir? He's foolish. He's going to take it and spend it all, he's not going to manage it to suffice him for the whole year. Then you give him one installment. But you have to prove he's a safir first. Like today, some Muslims who are, for example, they don't manage money, they don't know how to manage money, then they'll become a wali on them. Maybe you give it to their older brother to give it to them, to wali on them. Or you, the charity organization, you give it accordingly. You tell them, look, we have 20,000 for you, but every week you come and take a proportion of it. You see? And that is, he said, li'amin wahid. Here he said, yani also if he needs marriage, for example, he's needy, but he wants to get married, doesn't have enough, also we give him enough money to marry him off from the zakat. Yes, of course. He's needy and he wants to get married. So he's fulfilling an Islamic obligation. So you give him the money. He said, وَإِلَى الْعَامِلِ عَلَى الزَّكَاةِ وَإِلَى الْعَامِلِ عَلَى الزَّكَاةِ. How long do we have? He said, وَإِلَى الْعَامِلِ عَلَى الزَّكَاةِ قَبْرَ عَلَالَتِهِ. He said here, and the worker is to be given fair recompense for his work. So, the worker for the zakat, the collector of the zakat, he gets whatever fair for him to live and survive. طيب. وَإِلَى الْمُؤَلَّفِ مَا يَحْصُلُ بِهِ تَأْلِيفَهُ. He said, and the one whose heart is to be reconciled, it is to give him what will reconcile him. Okay? Yani enough to reconcile him and me. وَإِلَى الْمُكَاتَبِ, and the contracted slave and the debtor are to be given what they need to pay off what is due on them. وَالْغَارِمِ مَا يَقْضِ بِهِ دَيْنَهُ. وَالْغَارِمِ, يعني we read this, and also the debtor to suffice him to pay the debt. وَإِلَى الْغَازِ مَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ لِغَزْوِهِ. And the fighter is to be given what he needs for fighting. And he said here, وَإِلَى ابْنِ السَّبِيلِ مَا يُوَصِّلُهُ إِلَى بَلَدِهِ. And the wayfarer, it is to be given enough to enable him to return to his home. وَلَا يُزَادُ وَاحِدٌ مِّنْهُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. He said, none of them may be given more than that. So, it's not to give more than that. So you give him suffice for 1 year, for the faqir and the miskeen, enough for one need. And so, as we explained, and you do not give him any extra. Someone need $3,000 to get home, you don't give him four. You don't give him $3,500. You give him $3,000, enough for him. He said, وَخَمْسَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لَا يَأْخُذُونَ إِلَّا مَعَ الْحَاجَةِ وَهُمُ الْفَقِيرُ وَالْمِسْكِينُ وَالْمُكَاتَبُ وَالْغَارِمُ وَالنَّفْسِهِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ. He says, five types of them do not take anything except in the case of need. They are the poor, the needy, the contracted, the slave, the debtor for himself, and the wayfarer. These are five to be given for their need. And he said, وَأَرْبَعَ يَجُوزُ الدَّفْعُ إِلَيْهِمْ مَعِ الْغِنَى وَهُمْ الْعَامِلُ وَالْمُؤَلَّفُ وَالْغَازِي وَالْغَارِمُ لِإِصْلَاحِ ذَاتِهِ. Listen. He said, four types of them, it is permissible to give them the zakat even if they are well off. Even if he's a millionaire, he's still given from the zakat. He said, they are the zakat collectors. The zakat collector is not taking the money because he's poor or needy. It is equal his work. It is for his work. Sah? He's getting for what? For his work. And he said, the one to be reconciled. It could be a leader, a millionaire, but we give him to Sharima. Sah? He said, the fighter, even if he has a whole lot of money and you give him, there's no problem. You see? And he said, "Wal gharibu li islah al bayn," and the debtor who incurred debt to reconcile disputants. I told you a person comes to pay out of his money, $100,000, and to reconcile between disputes. Now let's just say this man has a lot of money anyway, but he asked for the money from the zakat. Then we give it to him because he paid to reconcile people together. He said, باب من لا يجوز دفع الزكاة إليه. Those who may not be given zakat. Right? It is about the people who you shouldn't give zakat. We spoke last week about the ones that you need to pay the zakat to. Today, the ones who are not allowed to take the zakat. يقول, ولا تحل لا تحل الصدقة لغني ولا لقوي مكتسب ولا تحل لآل محمد رضي الله عنهم وهم بنو هاشم ومواليهم. It is not permissible for charity here, meaning zakat, to be given to someone who is wealthy, strong, of capable earning. It is also not permissible for the household of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is Banu Hashim and their freed slaves. So here he begins with the ones who is wealthy. Here, of course, according to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith of Ubaidullah ibn Adi, that two men told him that they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking him for the sadaqah, meaning the zakat. So he looked into it and he looked yani at them and he found them stern and strong. And he said, if you want, I can give you, but there is no share for it to a rich man, nor to a strong person, to a strong and able to earn. They have no share in it. So we understand the first one and the second one, which is the ghani and qawi muktasib, they are not allowed to take from the zakat. Meaning if there is a miskin, but he is qawi muktasib, he can go and work, then there is no share for him in zakat. Unless, of course, he's got a strong body, but he's dumb, he's crazy, he's something wrong with him, then he gets the zakat. He said, وَلَا تَحِلُّ لِآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَهُمْ بَنُوا هَاشِمٍ. Also, the household of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, they and the Banu Hashim are not allowed to get the zakat. Get the zakat. Of course, here, Al-Muhammad and they are Banu Hashim, because Prophet said in a hadith collected by Sahih Muslim, As-sadaqatu innama hiya awsakhun nas wa innaha la tahillu li Muhammadin wa la li Ali Muhammad. The sadaqah is the filth of the people. It's not given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor the descendant of
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the household of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بنو هاشم the son of عبد مناف and they are آل علي رضي الله عنه آل عباس رضي الله عنه آل جعفر رضي الله عنه آل عقيل رضي الله عنه آل الحارث بن عبد المطلب. This is the fifth one, الحارث بن عبد المطلب. So these and their descendants don't take the zakat.
Is that up until now,
Yashad? Up until now, yes. Is it up until now? Yes. Up until now, if they are 100% proven, even if they are 100% proven, that they are descendant of the Prophet then yes.
And is that, sorry, is that, if they're fully poor, yani?
They have to be poor.
Oh, they have to be, yani.
Yes. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayhi, gave the fatwa that they be to be given from the zakat, because today, and some ulama, they said, because today there is no fifth, al-khums. They normally get khums from al-fay, to the Prophet ﷺ and to his family. But they don't get it today, طيب, that's why they deserve that, some of them. Also, وَلَا يَجُوزُ, also it is not allowed to the mawali.
Freed slave.
Freed slave. Because Abu Rafi', one of the mawali of the Prophet ﷺ, said that the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, As-sadaqa la tahillu lana wa inna mawla al-qawm min anfusihim. He said, As-sadaqa is not allowed for us, and also the freed slave is, and mawla is one of the family. So he doesn't get the zakat. Now we come to the important part of the zakat, which is we use a lot. وَلَا يَجُوزُ دَفْعُهَا إِلَى الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَإِنْ عَلَوَا. It is not permissible to pay it to one of the parents, even and their forebears, which is whom? The father, the grandfather, the grand-grandfather, and up you go. All of those not allowed to take the zakat. Some ulama said, he'll be given the parents from the zakat if they are really, really poor and needy. The correct opinion that you do not give the zakat to the parents. You do not. Because you are responsible for them regardless to sustain them and keep them alive. Since you are responsible of them, you do not give them from the zakat. He said, وَلَا إِلَى الْوَلَدِ وَإِنْ سَفُلْ. And also, not to one's children and their progeny. Also the children, which is the children and the grand-grandchildren and so on. Also with that, some scholars had some exceptions, but this is the correct opinion that the zakat not to be given to the child. The ones who said you can give them to your child, yani your walad, they say if he reached puberty and he's now 18 and 19, but he is in need of zakat, then you give it to him. Apart from that, you do not give it to him. They said, why? Because he became now dependent. And once the child becomes dependent, he doesn't deserve. Yani, the parents don't have to look after them, hence they deserve the zakat. You see? This is where the ulama said, or the correct opinion, the zakat not to be given to a child because the father needs to suffice him if he's a needy or poor. وَلَا إِلَى الزَّوْجَيْنِ, and not to the partner. Meaning, وَلَا إِلَى الزَّوْجَيْنِ. In English you don't have this. Yes, but in English you don't have it. So you can add it. What does it mean? Meaning, a husband cannot give the zakat to his wife, nor the wife can give the zakat to her husband. Why? As you see, all of these people support each other. Then he said, وَلَا مَنْ تَلْزَمُهُ مَأُنَتُهُ. Now he comes with the principle. He said, and and to those under one scale, yani not to give the zakat to anyone under your care. Why? Because you cannot give them your zakat. Remember, because they are under your care, like your foster child. Like, because if he's under your care, then you do not give him your zakat. Sah? Or, for example, you adopted or you're looking after a family, and they're dependent on you, then they are not deserved. You cannot give them from your zakat because they are under your constant care. طيب. Here he said the dalil for all of that. What the ulama, يعني, the adilla, يعني, the dalil for this, that the nafaqa you need to spend on them, and anyone you need to spend on them, you do not give them the zakat. طيب. And also the wife of the husband, because بِقُوَّةِ السِّلَى بَيْنَهُمَا, the dalil is قُوَّةِ السِّلَى, the strong ties between them, where they need to look after each other. طيب. But some ulama said that the wife can give her husband from her zakat money because she does not need to look after him. صح؟ And this is Allahu A'lam. يعني the closest opinion, that the wife, if she's wealthy and the husband is really poor and she does not need to look after him, as you know, the husband looks after the wife, then she can give him the zakat for her. وَلَا إِلَى الرَّقِيقِ, and not to, and I think also this is missing in your book, وَلَا إِلَى الرَّقِيقِ, meaning not also, you do not give it to your slave. Differentiate between the free slave and the slave. The free slave only in Ali Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The slave here, Raqib, why? Because the slave belongs to his owner. So if you give him the money, it's coming back to you. So, la li zakat. Tayyib. Also, what about if he is wealthy and he's got workers and he wants to give zakat? And he knows some of his workers are not earning enough. Just because, for example, they have a big family and the wages is not enough that he gives them. Can he give them from his zakat? Yes, he can give them from the zakat. But he's not allowed to make it to be a prize or a bonus. Yani, he can't, for example, they are poor. He knows they're poor. He says, khalas, at the end of Ramadan, I'm going to give you a bonus. That bonus is what?
Sadaqah.
Zakat. صح? His zakat. And he knows they may be poor, and then he gives him his zakat. This is cheating. صح? Because they get the impression you're not giving them zakat, you're giving them bonus so they can work harder. So the money now, you're using it to make him work harder, which is not your money anyway. It's zakat money. You see, this is something very important. وَلَا تُدْفَعُوا إِلَى الْكَافِرِ, and not to give to the disbeliever. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, what did he say in the hadith? He said that it is taken to Mu'adh, it is taken from their poor and given to their, it is taken from their rich and given to their poor. Yani the Muslim rich and given to the Muslim poor. طيب, it's only given to the kafir to bring his heart closer to Islam. Under which one? مُؤَلَّفَةُ قُلُوبِهِمْ. He said, فَأَمَّا صَدَقَةُ التَّطَوُّعِ فَيَجُوزُ دَفْعُهَا إِلَى هَؤُلَاءِ وَإِلَى غَيْرِهِمْ. He said, as for the voluntary charity may be given to such people and others. Yani charity you can give to your father, you can give to your son, you can give to your grandfather, to your grandson, someone who's under your care, and also you can give it to the kafir. If you're decided to give sadaqah to the kafir, then you can give sadaqah to the kafir.
That point there, answer, can you give to, for example, you know, those charity things that are non-Muslim and they do good things?
He's asking, what about you give it to a charity, they good thing, like they cancer, do good things. If it is a cancer foundation and you want to give them some of your sadaqah, yes. But as I said, we haven't fulfilled the need of our brothers and sisters in Islam before we go outside that. So you need to remember to fulfill the need of your brothers and sisters in Islam, because the awla rahma, and the dalil of what I'm saying here, the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, as-sadaqatu ala al-miskini, sadaqa wa ala al-ra'zir rahim ithnatani, sadaqatun wa sila. hadith in al-Nisa'i and al-Tirmidhi, and يعني it's got shawahid to make it a little bit authentic. يعني some ulama يعني they said it is hasan or close to hasan. What does it mean here, ya shabab? He said a sadaqa upon the miskin is one sadaqa, and upon a relative who's miskin, then twice. How about an ummah that is in need? صح؟ يعني if you want your dollar to get the maximum reward, then you send it to the closest needy or the one who is in calamity at the moment. يعني like Syria. Why would you give an organization, why would you give it to Syria where can get the maximum reward and the maximum help ever? Here he said, وَلَا يَجُوزُ دَفْعُ الزَّكَاةِ إِلَّا بِالنِّيَّةِ إِلَّا بِالنِّيَّةِ Before that he said, and also because Zainab radiallahu anha, the wife of Ibn Mas'ud, and Prophet said to Zainab, the wife of Ibn Mas'ud, زَوْجُكِ وَوَلَدُكِ أَحَقُّ مَنْ تَصَدَّقْتِ بِهِ عَلَيْهِ. Your husband and your son, they are more deserving of your sadaqah, they in need. And also he said, وَلَا يَجُوزُ دَفْعُ الزَّكَاةِ إِلَّا بِنِيَةِ. You're not allowed to pay the zakat except with intention. Why? Why? Because the hadith what? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Indeed, deeds by intentions, and you need an intention. As we said previously, if you take it out as sadaqah and then you change your mind, then it doesn't, and you say it's zakat after you paid it, then khalas, you have to take the zakat again. He said, إِلَّا أَن يَأْخُذَهَا الْإِمَامُ قَهْرًا. Unless the imam, the ruler, takes it by force. If he takes the sadaqah by force, then what happens? Unless the imam ruler takes it by force, this is فَتَجْرِي ظَاهِرًا. يعني on apparent, it is zakat. Meaning no, none of the Muslims, he said that this person did not pay the zakat. But batinan, there is no reward on it. If the ruler takes it by force, and then the person he did not intend to zakat, the zakat will drop. Because the niyyah of the one who took it suffices him. You understand? Because the one who took it as what? Zakat. That's why, listen, when you have zakat money in your pocket and you want to take it and give it to the poor, you do not have to say to the poor, this is zakat. Sah? The recipient does not need it to know it is zakat. As long as you intended in your heart it is zakat. As some people go, take my money, this $500 zakat. No, you don't have to do that. But if the ruler takes it by force of you, then it is what? Khalas zakat. With the intention of whom, the ruler is enough, because the proportion when he took is zakat. طيب. And يعني, if there was an Islamic government, if there is an Islamic government, and that Islamic government deduct of your money regardless of the zakat at the end of the year, goes to your account and counts it and takes the zakat. Just an example, if there is systematic, then that will become zakat regardless of your intention and it was taken away. But what you need to remember, some brothers try to use this trick. They say, Sheikh, the tax the government takes of me, can I intend it as zakat or is it a zakat? No, it's not zakat. So you cannot use the tax يعني, as zakat. And some ahad, you know, you'd be amazed how many brothers asked, What can I do? يعني, I need to pay the tax and I need to pay zakat on top of that. My money is gone now. I say, well, bad luck. You pay the hadah, the tax. If the tax is tax, it's not the poorest person's fault. And you still have to pay the zakat. You still have to pay the zakat. He said, وَإِذَا دَفَعَهَا دَفَعَ الزَّكَاةَ إِلَى غَيْرِ مُسْتَحَقِّهَا لَمْ يُجِزْهُ. And if he pays the zakat to the ones, to someone who does not deserve it, it is not valid. So, it is not valid to give it to someone who does not deserve it. صح? You have to do some kind of investigation. You don't go a severe investigation. You just try to do your best. And that's why he said, إِلَّا الْغَنِي إِذَا ظَنَّهُ فَقِيرًا. Except in the case that it was paid to someone who was well off, but whom he the donor thought was poor. Yani someone looked, you looked at, you felt sorry for him, you asked him, are you poor? He says, yeah, poor. Do you need any money? He said, oh, wish. Yani. And you investigated him and asked him a few questions, and was proved to you, yani from an interview you had with him, he deserves zakat, you gave him the zakat. After that, you found out he's rich, wealthy. Then what do? No, then khalas. Then, because the poor is unknown to you. Yani, unless, but what you need to know, unless he is known to be rich, and you are very gullible about it. Yani, if he's known amongst the people that this person is rich, and you were dumb enough to give him the money, which as soon as he said, oh, I'm poor, and you just went and just gave it to him without doing some kind of investigation whether he is poor and needy or not, then it's your fault. You have to take out the zakat again. We have finished chapter of zakat. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.